The Supreme Court looks likely to uphold the Affordable Care Act. Here in Florida, that decision will affect millions of patients. Good morning. We're live from Studio 5. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. Just ahead, a look at the future of the Affordable Care Act, what that means in Florida, and how you can get covered. Already getting your calls? Call us up now with your questions about the ACA. It's 549-2937. Then later, it's Veterans Day today. We'll take a look at activities across town, and we'll go inside the local Veterans Drug Treatment Court. But first this hour, the latest numbers on the pandemic. Grim numbers. On Tuesday, the number of people with COVID-19 at U.S. hospitals topped 60,000 for the first time. As of Tuesday, according to the COVID Tracking Project, that's a volunteer group that compiles data on coronavirus, we're looking at 61,694 Americans hospitalized. Across Florida, we have a total of 852,174 cases and 17,248 deaths in this state. The bottom line here is more people are being hospitalized from COVID. The positivity rate is too high, and too many people continue to die. So you must continue to mask and socially distance and wash your hands and be vigilant. This pandemic is still very much with us. And of course, the pandemic has brought home the importance of health insurance coverage in this country. For many Americans who have gotten ill from the virus, it has actually created new pre-existing conditions. According to polling, most Americans now say they support the Affordable Care Act and especially coverage for pre-existing conditions. The Supreme Court is considering another legal challenge to the Affordable Care Act this week, but at least five of the justices on the High Court said Tuesday they would reject attempts to kill it. Now, at the same time, enrollment is underway right now to get people covered under the ACA. We're going to learn more this morning as we welcome Josh Peck. He's the co-founder of Get America Covered. Hi, Josh.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Also on the line, Darnell Smith, market president at Florida Blue here in Jacksonville. Darnell, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, and it's so great to have both of you on the show to discuss this very timely topic this morning. We're already getting your calls about the Affordable Care Act. What are your questions, comments about getting health insurance covered for your plan? Give us a call now. It's 549-2937. Emails to FirstCoastConnect at WJCT.org. Tweets to @MelissaInJax, and our Facebook page is open. In a moment, we'll hear from Darnell and Florida Blue, since this company leads the nation in single-state enrollments and individual ACA plans. But first, Josh Peck, bring us up to date on the case before the Supreme Court and how that's likely to play out.
Absolutely. So yesterday, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the Texas versus United States healthcare lawsuit. As you mentioned earlier, if this lawsuit were successful, 135 million people with pre-existing conditions would find themselves in a, you know, back to the place they were before the Affordable Care Act was the law, and that means they could be discriminated against when applying for coverage. And over 20 million people have coverage today because of the Affordable Care Act, and if it were completely thrown out, they would lose coverage. While there were really positive signs, in the discussion yesterday, what's important for people who are considering enrolling this year is understanding that a decision isn't likely until the middle of next year. So if you're thinking of getting coverage, if you find yourself uninsured, as a result of the coronavirus pandemic, it's very, very important that you enroll by December 15th. That's your last chance to get covered for 2021. Otherwise, you'll have to wait until next year's open enrollment period. And the court case really shouldn't influence that decision making. Regardless of the outcome, that's the best thing you can do to protect yourself and your family.
And the website is healthcare.gov, because Florida never opened its own state exchange, Josh. Can you talk a little bit about that?
That's right. Florida uses the national platform, healthcare.gov, as a sort of one-stop shop for people to enroll. It's important, actually, you know, we really recommend that people use healthcare.gov and not other websites. Junk plans are legal in Florida, and people need to beware when they're purchasing that the coverage they're getting is comprehensive. Every plan sold at healthcare.gov is an ACA compliant plan, and that means that people can have confidence that, you know, when they get sick, that, you know, that coverage is going to cover the basics.
549-2937 to talk about the Affordable Care Act. Let's bring in now Darnell Smith, the market president at Florida Blue here in Jacksonville. Darnell, Florida Blue leads the nation in Affordable Care Act enrollments and has from the beginning. Isn't that right?
That is correct. We decided in the beginning that we would make certain that we provided coverage in all 67 Florida counties. There are well over a million people that are covered in the state of Florida, and we have really been committed to making certain that indeed everybody has coverage.
Okay, so then the open enrollment period is happening now, and so what is Florida Blue doing to get the word out to people across the state who, by the way, there are still, I think it's over a million or close to a million Florida residents who remain uninsured.
That is correct. And so obviously we do a lot of outreach, multicultural outreach. We have a lot of marketing that we move forward. And obviously with the pandemic, whereas we would normally be out and engaging people throughout, we're instead doing a number of calls via that outreach. And of course, we have our retail center. And of course, even though right now we are working virtually, we are making certain that we are, you know, reaching people where they are and trying to make certain that they understand that this is really important. And they have until December 15th, as you heard Josh indicate, to be able to, you know, enroll for this coverage. And it's and you know, we really believe that this is extremely important for folks to take advantage of. The Affordable Care Act, quite frankly, has been a game saver, a changer for so many people in Florida. And so we really believe that the decision that can be made by the Supreme Court and can really make certain that we continue to provide very necessary coverage for many Floridians.
And Josh Peck, before we go to callers, what would you say to those who are concerned they cannot afford Obamacare, as it's been known, or the Affordable Care Act, or a health plan through this exchange?
Yeah, you know, my top recommendation is go to healthcare.gov and see the plans that are available. There's a feature called window shopping that lets you enter your household income. And this is a vital step because when you enter your household income, you find out the actual cost that you'll pay when you enroll. And it's very likely that the cost of coverage is much more affordable than you think it is. So in Florida right now, 4 out of 5 healthcare.gov customers can find a plan with a monthly premium of $10 or less. And last year, nearly 700,000 uninsured Floridians were eligible for plans with a $0 monthly premium. Now, when people shop, you know, every family has a different budget and different needs. You're going to have to make the best decision for your family on you know, what type of plan makes sense. But, you know, even for people with the tightest of budgets, there are options available that are extremely affordable. And to be clear, this isn't cheap coverage. These are plans that cost, you know, hundreds of dollars a month. But because 9 out of 10 healthcare.gov customers in Florida qualified for financial help last year to make their monthly premiums more affordable, it brings down those expensive premiums to something that, you know, people can afford who are on a tight budget. And I know there are a lot of them this year because of the pandemic.
And we're going to continue talking about that and the relevance of the ACA in this time of pandemic. What are your questions? Open enrollment in Florida ends December 15th to get covered under the Affordable Care Act. It's 549-2937. Give us a call. Landon in Riverside. Hi, Landon. Good morning.
Hi, Melissa. Just a question for those of us who, you know, may have traditionally elected to maybe not have health insurance. Now things are a little bit different with COVID, obviously. What would you say to some people who have maybe shied away from getting insurance, but, you know, now that times have changed, is there a particular advantage to having insurance with COVID-related ailments?
Yeah, Landon, that's such an important question right now. Let's get both our guests to answer that, beginning with Darnell Smith, Market President, Florida Blue. Darnell, how has the pandemic changed the game when it comes to having health insurance?
Well, as you indicated at the beginning of the show, quite frankly, as a result of the pandemic and many of the folks, quite frankly, who might have contracted COVID, it is now a pre-existing condition. And so we believe that now is the best time to be able to enroll in the ACA. You're provided with a number of opportunities, and the Affordable Care Act made it possible for pre-existing conditions not to be a reason why you can't have coverage. And so having that intact is extremely important. And quite frankly, it just provides so many wonderful, you know, opportunities for you. It allows the opportunity for children to stay on their parents' policy until the age of 26, unlimited annual and lifetime covered benefits, subsidies, as you heard Josh talk about, that allow you to help reduce your premiums. And then, of course, you know, preventive immunizations and wellness, free wellness visits and things of that sort. This is the time to do it. And we would ask that you please feel free to reach out to us at floridablue.com. And we'll be more than happy, as you can, you know, go through. You'll be able to find an agent that can be able to assist you or someone in our retail center. But we look forward to being able to assist.
All right. And Josh Peck, pre-existing conditions, having health insurance coverage no matter what your pre-existing condition is, that is far and away the most popular provision of the Affordable Care Act. And what are your thoughts as the founder of Get America Covered about how the pandemic has really brought this home to Americans at risk of illness?
You know, we've been saying for years that we say accidents happen and people get sick, and health insurance protects you from the unexpected. This year, the pandemic really sort of gives us a new way to reflect on that particular advice, because you know, more Americans have lost health coverage over the last year than ever before in American history. You know, in a practical sense, the one critical thing that coverage does this year to help combat COVID, thanks to the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, every plan sold at healthcare.gov is required to cover the cost of COVID-19 testing. And, you know, given where we are, you know, in this pandemic, we know that, you know, an important way to not only protect yourself and your family, but also your community is to get tested and to understand, you know, if you can spread it. But, you know, with the risk of the pandemic very present in our life, having coverage also, you know, removes the threat of a huge unexpected medical bill should you need treatment. So, you know, we always recommend that people have coverage. The pandemic just gives us a new, more urgent reason to look into it.
Lots of feedback on social media as we talk about open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act. The Supreme Court heard another legal challenge to overturning it yesterday, although most of the justices have indicated they are not likely to do that. Striking down the ACA would expand the ranks of the uninsured in the U.S. by more than 20 million people, a nearly 70% increase. It would really cause chaos in our healthcare system. Emily tweets the show, "My husband and I have been using the ACA for years. It has slowly gotten better. And while we can't always get the doctors we like, we are covered. Here's an example of how the subsidy works. Because of our income, the plan is regularly something like $800, but we only pay $27 a month," she says. Let's go to some calls. What are your questions about the Affordable Care Act? Open enrollment is underway now. It ends December 15th. Beth is in Bay Meadows. Hi, Beth. Good morning.
Hi. My question is, I'm 60 years old, and I no longer work. I have an IRA, and my husband has an IRA. He's in his 70s. So we need to make our IRA last for the rest of our lives. I currently pay $1,050 a month for a Florida Blue plan. My question is, I don't want to in any way cheat the system. If I went on the healthcare.gov site, how would I list my income? Because I don't actually have any income, but I can pull money from my IRA.
Okay. Thanks, Beth. Darnell Smith, what should a customer like Beth do to have more affordable health insurance, and how should she describe her income? This is a situation millions of Americans are in.
Yeah, you know, and I really appreciate her authenticity and certainly transparency there. I would once again ask her to really reach out to us, give us a chance to be able to hear her goals, her health goals, the situation that she's talking about around her income, et cetera, and we will provide her with options. The good thing in that scenario is it's not about just being able to make a sale. It is really trying to make certain we're fitting you with the best opportunity and option for you, and certainly from a financial perspective as well. And we have excellent resources to be able to do that.
Josh Peck, what are your thoughts about senior citizens out there like Beth who are on a fixed income? They want an affordable monthly premium.
So, you know, as Darnell really suggested, you know, every single person's situation is different. So one of the best things that you know, anyone who has some of these questions can do is to reach out and get some help. You know, and another great resource in Florida is coveringflorida.org. You can call them at 1-877-813-9115, and somebody can talk you through your specific situation. But, you know, the way that financial help works in the marketplace is the person who's applying needs to estimate their income for the following year. And, you know, this is going to be a trickier year to do that than it has been historically. Because Florida, you know, state leadership hasn't expanded Medicaid, they haven't accepted the billions of dollars in federal funds that would help low-income people get health insurance. It means that there are 800,000 people in Florida who don't have access, you know, who would get access to care, you know, if it were expanded. And that really matters for people who are between 18 and 64 who don't have a disability or dependents and are trying to afford coverage. Because if you make, you know, less than the poverty line, there is actually no assistance for you in Florida. That isn't how the Affordable Care Act was designed to work. It was designed to provide coverage for those people too. But because the Florida state leadership rejected the federal funds that would pay for it, people who make less than the poverty line, you know, are not able to get financial assistance, which, you know, it's really crazy. The idea that you get less help because you're poor is just not the way I believe the system should work. What I would say to people who are, you know, looking at their 2021 income and, you know, to the extent that they have control over it, it's very important, you know, that you get above that poverty line so that you do, become eligible for financial help. But at the end of the day, I'd really recommend people talk to someone and get one-on-one help, because everyone's situation is different.
Lots of calls, emails, and tweets right now coming into the show as we discuss the Affordable Care Act. The Supreme Court heard a challenge to the act yesterday, the latest of dozens over the years. Several of the justices, including a new Justice Brett Kavanaugh, have indicated they are not likely to overturn the ACA. As we follow that, here's an email from a listener. In the last 4 years, we've had the smallest increase in rates since the ACA started. In addition, we now have the largest number of different insurance carriers participating in the marketplace and no individual penalties, he says. What are your questions about the Affordable Care Act? The deadline to enroll at healthcare.gov is December 15th if you don't have insurance. It's 549-2937. As we continue the conversation with Darnell Smith of Florida Blue and Josh Peck of Get America Covered, Ashley has been holding in Mandarin. Hi, Ashley. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I was calling. I tried to apply for the ACA last year to get covered for this year, and the premiums were more than I would spend out of pocket. The premiums were $500, $300 to $500 every month. I go to the doctor every 3 months, cost me $200. So I opted out of the ACA and just pay for my stuff out of pocket.
Okay. Did you try to get the subsidies that are available so that your monthly bill would be lower?
I did, and I was not able to get it.
And it
them.
Didn't work. Okay. And no. Ashley, I'm sorry to hear that. Unfortunately, that is still a problem with this this whole giant piece of legislation. Darnell Smith, there are folks out there like Ashley who they don't necessarily qualify for the subsidies, and they make just a little bit too much money to make this work for them, to make this affordable for them. What about that problem?
Yeah, and this is why we believe that being able to keep the Affordable Care Act in place and allowing us to, as a country, to make the necessary changes, we can be able to cover Floridians like her and be able to make certain that we are indeed providing some of those subsidies so that she doesn't have to pay as much. And obviously, she's correct. There are going to be certain things that she can be able to cover out of pocket without having to pay the $500 per month premium that she looked at. I think the situation I would ask her not to lose sight of is that, in case there is this situation in the future, heaven forbid, that she has a major chronic situation or condition, those are going to be potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so I think we got to make certain that we're looking at it from the perspective of really trying to protect ourselves, not only for things that may be small impacts, but predicting the possibility of very large medical situations as well. We never know. We certainly don't anticipate those things happening, but that's what insurance is all about, is making certain that it's there for those opportunities if and or when they happen.
Josh Peck, what's your message to potential enrollees like Ashley in Mandarin who just don't feel they can afford to get covered?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I would do is I would recommend going to healthcare.gov again this year and make sure that, you enter your household income in the window shopping tool because, as I said, 4 to 5 healthcare.gov customers this year, can find a plan for $10 or less. But Darnell's absolutely right. There are some people whose income just is high enough that they're not eligible for plans and coverage can still be very expensive. But the cost of a major medical incident or a chronic condition can be, absolutely staggering and lead to bankruptcy. So it becomes a question of personal budgets. But if you can afford it, I do strongly recommend that people get covered. One thing that, the Affordable Care Act does create an out-of-pocket maximum limit for all coverage, You know, and this year it's $8,550 for an individual. Still a lot of money, but compared to, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in medical bills, you know, that's a bargain. So, again, you know, your individual situation is gonna have to dictate the choices that you make. And what I really encourage you to do is go to healthcare.gov or to get some help from coveringflorida.org.
Daryl in St. Augustine. Hi, Daryl. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, I know you can't be denied for pre-existing conditions, but are the rates based on any pre-existing conditions? In other words, how does the pricing, does your present health affect your pricing?
Okay. Darnell, can you answer that question?
No, they are not.
They are not. So if you come to Florida Blue with a pre-existing condition, that doesn't automatically raise your rate. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. So let's take one more call as we get through a long queue of listeners talking about open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act. Susan has been holding in Mandarin for some time. Susan, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Thank you. Why has health insurance premium skyrocketed? And would a public option make premiums cheaper? I read an article one time that the CEO of some of the Blue Crosses across the country make $1 million a year. That adds up, and I wonder if a lot of the private health insurance companies aren't efficient with our cost, and if we had a public option, our cost actually might be cheaper. I was actually laid off in 2018, and I could have elected COBRA, which would have cost me $500 a month, but I went on to the healthcare.gov, and I found a $6,000 deductible, which I did qualify for a subsidy, so I only had to pay $100 a month. But the government was paying another $900 because the premiums were actually $1,000 a month, which seems outrageous for a $6,000 deductible. So the whole problem is the health insurance premiums are too high, whether we're paying for it personally or the government is paying. And I think a public option might make the cost go down. What do you all think?
Thanks, Susan. Josh Peck, what about that? Do you think that's ever in our future in this country?
Yeah, well, you know, Get America Covered is we're a nonprofit that really focuses on helping people get covered, and we don't really take positions on sort of policy that's under consideration. I think there are a lot of ways that you know, our healthcare system can be, you know, made more competitive and potentially, you know, constrain prices. And the public option is certainly one strategy that's been proposed, you know, to do just that. There are some pieces of the Affordable Care Act, though, that, you know, it may not seem this way, but you know, prices certainly, you know, healthcare prices in America, you know, are really the highest in the world, sort of per capita. And when we see our monthly bills, certainly before that financial help kicks in, it's pretty clear to all of us that, you know, healthcare is incredibly expensive. The Affordable Care Act has done a couple of things that, you know, I certainly think are important from a policy perspective, not necessarily, you know, the experience of people's, you know, pocketbooks. One thing the Affordable Care Act done is it's actually slowed the rate of increase for the cost of healthcare in America. It's a small victory because it hasn't turned it around. It hasn't, you know, made healthcare cheaper. It's still continuing to rise, but it's been rising at a much slower rate since the Affordable Care Act passed. And one other thing that, you know, you mentioned was the profiting of health insurance companies. The Affordable Care Act created a cap on the amount of profit that these insurance companies can make. And as a result, they actually have to give rebates to people if they make more than the allotted amount. This year, I believe the expectation is that they'll be paying back $2.44 billion to consumers. So it's just another way that, you know, the Affordable Care Act is trying to sort of, you know, right the ship. But I think to your larger point, it's a big challenge, and we still have work to do. And, you know, I personally believe that it's going to take, you know, additional legislation before we can we can, you know, make the Affordable Care Act strong enough to actually correct the problem.
In the meantime, Darnell Smith, let's close with you. What's your final message to people out there who still don't have health insurance or have struggled with paying for health insurance?
Now is the time to absolutely apply for the ACA. You have until December the 15th. I encourage you to go out to healthcare.gov, as you heard Josh highlight, and I encourage you to go to floridablue.com. You'll be able to identify, you know, all the different things, numbers, people who can be able to assist you through this. It is really about your health, and now is the time to be able to take advantage of that. You heard Josh indicate that whatever decision is made by the Supreme Court, it's not going to impact you anytime soon. We're thinking it's going to be probably the middle of next year that there's going to be an impact, somewhere between the spring and the middle of next year. So now is that time to be able to take full advantage of taking care of your health. The Affordable Care Act is a very good way of being able to do that, and we hope that people will take advantage of it.
Thank you so much, Darnell Smith, Market President, Florida Blue. Also with us, Josh Peck, co-founder of Get America Covered. Again, go to healthcare.gov. You have until December 15th to enroll under the Affordable Care Act. Guys, thanks again.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And much more still ahead later. A look at some good news and notes from this Wednesday. But up next.
We try to address the whole man or whole woman. So we address housing issues, employment issues, health issues, anything that a vet needs to get him back on his feet.
It's Veterans Day, and in a moment, we'll go inside the Duval County courtroom where veterans with addiction issues get a second chance. That's next. Today is Veterans Day, and the traditional Veterans Day parade will make its way through downtown Jacksonville starting at 11 o'clock this morning. A number of businesses are also offering special discounts today. Make sure to take advantage of that if you served. All this week on the show, we are spotlighting programs geared to help our large local veteran community. One of them is Veterans Treatment Court, a local drug treatment court for First Coast vets. I learned more from Judge Mose Floyd. He's a retired lieutenant colonel in the Marines, and he now runs the Veteran Treatment Court. Take a listen. Judge Floyd, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you are in charge of Veteran Treatment Court in Duval County. You're a retired lieutenant colonel, we should point out, too. So on this Veterans Day, let's talk about the work that goes on in this courtroom and how it's helping the local veteran community. What can you tell us?
Well, the thing we do in our court, unlike other courts, is we try to address the whole man or whole woman. The veteran might have been arrested on a DUI charge, but that may not be the only problem with a vet. So we address housing issues, employment issues, health issues, anything that a vet needs to get him back on his feet. And we've had tremendous success with that. We average about 35 vets in the program at any given time. We can take up to 75. Over the past 3 years, we've graduated about 80, just over 80 vets, and only one has been rearrested. So that's a great recidivism rate. And when guys leave, the testimonies are tremendous. Before the virus, we were able to bring them in with their families. And the testimonies with regard to you've given my husband back, my father back, you saved my life, it just warms the heart to know that we've helped a vet get back on his feet. And that's what we're about.
And so when a local veteran completes this program, they do it without a criminal record. They get a new start. Is that right?
Yes, in most instances, unless they're on probation and they pled to the charge, the charges will be dropped. And the veteran also has an opportunity to apply to have the charges sealed or expunged so future employers won't know that he was charged with those offenses.
The fact that you even have to have a program like this, Judge, as you've said, is it's an indicator of the costs of war, of the fact that veterans come home with physical and psychological wounds. And can you talk a little bit about why our veteran community is more at risk of drug abuse and addiction?
Yes, the veterans come back, and some of them may not be even aware of the maladies that affect them, but their family life has been disrupted. They've lost jobs, and they can't keep jobs. And unfortunately, it's only after they landed behind bars and someone comes in to evaluate them do they know that they may suffer from PTSD or drug or alcohol addictions, because it's a slowly progressing thing in some instances. But when it hits hard. And there's a tremendous course correction needs to be done there. And the veterans are, by and large, very powerful people. Some don't want to admit to the infliction. Some don't want to reach out for help. So it's incumbent upon us to seek them out and let them know about the program and the remedies and help that's available to them. And for the same reason, the vets may not do as well in a drug court or another environment with a lot of teens, because they don't see that their afflictions are the same as those the others in there, and they don't want to open up in that environment. But when vets are in with vets, there's a very supportive environment, and we've achieved tremendous success in that environment. It's totally different, and they feel that it's something they've earned and something that they can take advantage of.
Now, as you said, you've graduated 86 local veterans over the last 2.5 years or so through Veterans Treatment Court in Jacksonville. Only one has gone back to jail. That's a great track record. But are you hoping to expand the scope of this program and put more local veterans through it?
Yes, as I say, our capacity is about 75, and we're averaging about 35. And that's largely because when the veterans are arrested, sometimes no one is aware that they are veterans, and they're not going to speak up because they're prideful and they're ashamed that they're behind bars and not reaching out. So we're taking initiative to look at the jail records and have the judges more aware and the public defenders and the prosecutors aware to sort of seek out those veterans and let them know about the program and at least offer it to them. We're always seeking to increase our outreach to the veterans and to make them aware of the program and try and approach them in a way that they don't feel that it's a stigma or something to be shameful for, because it's something that they've earned, and we just want to help them out. So we're always looking to expand our roles to help those that are in need.
And people can even support Duval County Veterans Treatment Court financially as well, correct?
Yes, there's a 501 program that's a program that takes donations that directly goes to help veterans and Veterans Treatment Court. Our lead mentor, David Abramowitz, leads that, and they can fund needs that the veterans have that we may not have authorization to fund or don't have the funds available, such as paying utility bills to keep the lights on, putting food in a refrigerator, getting clothes for kids that are going to school, helping them stay in their housing by augmenting their rent, while we're getting more permanent sources of rent payments or utility payments, or getting them relocated to a place that they can better afford. So it helps us to gap between the veterans' resources and what the demands of their lives are until we can get something more permanent on hand. And it's vitally needed, and it was just started this year.
Well, kudos to you and everyone involved with this, and thanks for joining us. He's Judge Mose Floyd, overseeing the Veteran Treatment Court in Duval County, helping dozens of local veterans transition away from drug abuse and addiction and without a criminal record. Judge, thanks so much, and happy Veterans Day.
Thanks for having me.
And right now, we'd like to give a shout out to a couple of local veterans with a unique connection. U.S. Navy vet Robert Lentz and U.S. Air Force World War II vet Paul Manove. Now, Robert is going to drive his restored World War II Jeep in this morning's Jacksonville Veterans Day Parade. He's a 1997 graduate of Douglas Anderson School of the Arts, and he served 6 years in the Navy on Guam Navy Base as a paramedic. He visited many remote military outposts, including Tiny Tinian Island in the South Pacific. That brings us to Paul Manove, another local vet. Paul is 97. He was born in Brooklyn in 1923 and joined the Army Air Corps at the age of 18, served in World War II as a trained B-29 bombardier, achieving the rank of first lieutenant. Posted in the South Pacific on that aforementioned Tinian Island, Paul and his air crew flew 31 successful bombing missions in the vicinity of Tokyo. On the 9-hour return flight from Tokyo to Tinian Island, they learned by radio that the three B-29s off-limits at the north end of the Tinian Island runway had just dropped the first atom bomb on Hiroshima. Those three B-29s included the Enola Gay. So these two veterans, one young, one old, who both had a connection to Tinian Island in the South Pacific, we learned this week at WJCT, they got together and met in person to share their stories and memories. This amazing tale comes to us from a regular listener to this program, Ira Richardson of San Jose Forest. He is U.S. Army Airborne retired, and he works to capture the oral histories of veterans and their families. Thank you, Ira Richardson, for sharing this story with us. And thanks to everyone out there who has served this nation. We're going to take a quick break in a moment. More Veterans Day news and some other positive news and notes from the week in our What's Good Wednesdays. We'll try to put a little smile on your face. That's coming up. Stay with us. It's the biggest stories affecting the Sunshine State. Hi, I'm Melissa Ross.
And I'm Tom Hudson. Join us Friday for the Florida Roundup.
Each week at noon, we interview newsmakers and people from across the state discussing the stories and issues that affect your life. What's driving the conversation in Florida?
Join the conversation on the Florida Roundup.
Every Friday at noon on WJCT News 89.9.
Congareen Pen, dedicated to agriculture and culinary endeavors, offering field-to-fork dining and outdoor experiences on over 300 acres. Sip, dine, explore. Information at congareenpen.com.
UF Health Jacksonville, celebrating 150 years of caring for our community. Founded in 1870, UF Health Jacksonville is a major academic health center serving Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia. Learn more at ufhealthjacks.org.
Last month, the ACLU reported that 525 migrant children separated from their parents cannot be located. and thousands of unaccompanied kids are being detained for months or even years. Aura Bogado of the Center for Investigative Reporting joins us to talk about why these migrant children are stranded in U.S. custody for prolonged periods. That's next time on Think.
Tonight at 10 on WJCT News 89.9.
Remember those Paycheck Protection Program loans that a lot of businesses were getting earlier this year?
It would have been very difficult to get where we're at right now without that little influx of capital.
The PPP loan was something that gave us a runway, but it didn't solve the problem.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, where businesses that got PPP loans are at right now. That is next time on Marketplace.
Tonight at 6, here on WJCT News 89.9.
A long dark winter or the first real sign of light?
We would be giving vaccine to people very likely before the end of this year. That is good news.
Pfizer's announcement has been met with cautious excitement, but there's still a lot we don't know. We'll find out what we do know and answer your questions next time on 1A.
Today, starting at 10 on WJCT News 89.9.
Welcome back. Well, it's Wednesday, time for our weekly look at what's good across this community. And this week in particular, we've got quite a list. Let's begin with today, Veterans Day. In November of 1919, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed November 11th as the first ever commemoration of Armistice Day. A century later, we're going to take a moment today to thank the many veterans of our First Coast community who have served this nation. And that, of course, begins with the Veterans Day Parade. It's taking place this morning despite the pandemic, kicking off downtown on Water Street in front of the lofts at Jefferson Station at 11:01 a.m. It will proceed down East Water Street, turn on Dolores Street, then west down Adams Street, and finish up at Lee Street. Local officials will be on hand, including two of this city's oldest veterans, Solly Mitchell of the U.S. Army, age 102, and John Connolly of the U.S. Army Air Corps, age 95. Senior military officials, active duty and retired units, veterans groups, local high school groups, and floats aplenty will be on hand. Everyone is encouraged to wear red, white, and blue and wave flags while maintaining social distance and wearing your mask. So again, that happens at 11 a.m. this morning. It typically goes right by our building at WJCT as well. Now, after you enjoy the parade, we encourage you to nominate a veteran in your life to receive a cool rucksack stuffed with items just for them. The Jacksonville-based company GoRuck, in collaboration with Live to Give, has cooked up a Nominate a Veteran campaign in partnership with three other veteran-backed brands, including Combat Flip Flops, Soldier Socks, and Chive Charities. Check it out at the website Live to Give, and happy Veterans Day. All right, unfortunately, the Greater Jacksonville Fair did get canceled this year due to the pandemic, but fortunately, all that delicious fair food is still going to be served up this weekend. You can go enjoy it like your Wilbur in Charlotte's Web. Yes, the Fair Food Fest is on this Saturday and Sunday at the downtown Jacksonville Fairgrounds. The action is from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. both days. You know what we're talking about. Turkey legs, corn dogs, kettle corn, cheese steaks, fried dough. You know what the fair food vibe is like. So go enjoy that along with lots of local music. Beloved local artists will be doing live sets like Mama Blue and the Chris Thomas Band. Admission is $10 and includes parking. Get your passes now at jacksonvillefair.com. And a few shout-outs we want to give, beginning with Shannon Nasworth, president and CEO of Ability Housing. Shannon has been selected as the Multifamily Executive of the Year in Multifamily Executive Magazine. She finds decent housing for hundreds of local families across the First Coast. Kudos, Shannon Nasworth. Wildflower Health Clinic, let's talk about them for a minute. They are the only free medical and dental clinic for uninsured adults in St. Johns County. This year, they are celebrating their 25th anniversary in the form of a virtual fundraiser. Hey, everyone, it's a virtual world. This is how we're doing things right now. You may be tired of all these Zoom events, but make an effort, especially if you're a St. Johns County resident, to check this one out. Click on to it as they telecast live from the St. Augustine Classic Car Museum tomorrow night from 7 to 8 o'clock. That's the Wildflower Health Clinic. And finally, we want to note that you should try to stuff the trunk for breast cancer survivors. This is coming up Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the new Sprouts Farmers Market at the corner of Beach and Kernan Boulevards. It's a one-day only food drive for breast cancer survivors, and it's sponsored by Pink Ribbon Travel. This is all you have to do. Go to Sprouts between 10 and 4, shop for yourself, but then fill up another bag for Stuff the Trunk and just drop it off right there in the parking lot. Do your part to help breast cancer survivors and their families. That's a really easy idea that anyone can take advantage of. And if you want more good news sent straight to your inbox, just sign up for our free weekly What's Good Wednesdays newsletter. You can do it anytime at wjct.org. And we want to keep hearing from everyone. If you've got some good news that you'd like us to add to our weekly menu, we so appreciate all of the submissions that we are now getting in droves. It's just proof that this is a generous and caring community and that people are doing what they can to find the positive in these challenging times. And that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Heather Schatz. Josh Torres is show director. Our news director is Jessica Palumbo. Bill Bortsfield is our digital editor. Keep that feedback coming. Questions and comments go to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. And if you missed any part of today's show, you can catch the rebroadcast tonight at 8, or our podcast will be up later today, wherever you listen. I'm Melissa Ross. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. We'll be back at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.